This gospel message is brought to you by the Reformed Witness Hour, a ministry of the Protestant Reformed Churches in America, a Reformed denomination that strives to be faithful to the Word of God and the historic confessions of the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism. In love for our great God, we proclaim the Christian faith and life that is founded on God's sovereign particular grace. As God's Word is expounded, we pray that these messages are a blessing to you.
There is a perfect harmony between the earthly and the spiritual. The two are inseparably related to one another. We may not confuse nature and grace, of course, but neither may we go to the opposite extreme and separate the realm of the earthly from the realm of the spiritual. It is not as if our earthly possessions have nothing to do with the salvation we have in Christ. There's an intimate relationship between the two. When God saves His people, they view their earthly possessions in a totally different way than the ungodly. Not only do believers view them in a different way, but they use them in a different way too. We use the earthly to seek the kingdom of heaven. We refuse to place our trust in uncertain riches, but we use what we possess as a means to seek a higher end. We become Christian stewards of that which God has given us in this life, and in wisdom use our possessions to seek those things that are above. Beginning in chapter 9 of the second letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, Paul addresses the whole subject of Christian giving. It is not as if the church in Corinth had a problem in this area. On the contrary, this church was giving diligently and abundantly to the needs of the saints, and Paul commends them for that. But in this praise, Paul draws their attention to the grace of God that worked in them, a grace that resulted in such giving. We read of this in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Not only did God work in these saints the heart to give to the needs of others, but God also enriched them with material, earthly wealth, in order that they might provide such help to others. We read in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. The idea here is that God not only worked in them graciously the spirit of giving, but also provided richly all things that they gave. God is the one in every way, is the one that in every way provided for all things. This will come out today, too, as in connection with this season of Thanksgiving, we want to examine another verse of this chapter, verse 15. So we take a look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Very short verse. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. This verse summarizes everything that in this season of the year the believer rejoices in. We give in everything to God for His unspeakable gift, thanks. This week, the United States celebrates giving thanks. The vast majority of the masses in our country use Thanksgiving Day for vacation, for watching football, for eating and drinking. And all of this is okay too, but very few take even a little time out to give thanks to God for what they have received of His hands. Many will give thanks to other people or organizations for what they have received from them. Maybe those who are really into this day make a list of people to whom they give thanks. And included on the list are friends and family, employers or employees, and so on. But few today anymore take any time out to thank God. Very few in this day understand that Thanksgiving Day was used by pilgrims years ago to give thanks to God for providing for them in this new land in which they, or to which now they had traveled. I hope our broadcast today will serve to remind believers in this week to come to give God thanks, since He is the one who has given us all these things richly to enjoy. To use Paul's words in verse 11, God has enriched us in everything to all bountifulness. God has given us everything, no exception, everything that we possess in this life. We could start with all the material comforts and luxuries we have and all the extras. Can you even name them all? You would be surprised how many possessions we have in this life that are not necessities but extras. We do know what necessities are, right? When we pray that God gives us this day our daily bread, then we're asking for necessities. Jesus defines those necessities for us in Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, he says, take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. Food and clothing. They're necessities, and to that can be added shelter. These are the basics of life. Those earthly material things we need to live in this world. Anything over and above these are extras. Here in America, we live in a society of extras. So much have we been given that we have become spoiled in all the extras. We hear more from our mouths the words, I want, than any other society, even though we have been given more than anyone else. Americans are forever in debt, because though they have so much more than anyone else in the world, nevertheless they want more of it. God has given you and me, dear listeners, much in the way of necessities and comforts. On Thanksgiving Day, we stop for a moment. We pause. We think. God has given us these things. We did not earn them. We do not deserve them. God in His providence gives to us these many earthly gifts. They come from His mighty hand. He gives, and He can withhold. He gives, and He can take, and does at times take away. We are merely stewards of the earthly possessions God has given us. In this week, and really always, believers bow in humble thanks for the bounties of the earth God has again provided in this year gone by. But these gifts mean nothing at all in themselves. That is something the unbeliever does not recognize. These earthly possessions are empty and vain in themselves. They mean nothing. In fact, they can be a real stumbling block in our lives because we can start to put our trust in them. We can begin to think that life consists in these things. Life is houses and cars and entertainment and so on. We somehow expect that we will find peace and happiness of heart in these things. These earthly material possessions really mean nothing at all in themselves. I mean, it's like a family living on a houseboat that is floating down the Niagara River. They can fix up the boat, make it pleasant for themselves, have it heaped with all kinds of food, have the latest in entertainment, and say, ah, this is life. This is living. This is good. Can't get any better. The next day, the whole boat and everyone on it goes over the falls and is dashed to pieces and perishes. The gift that believers truly give thanks for is an unspeakable gift. That is to say, it is a gift of priceless possession, a gift that once given we cannot lose. It is a gift which, if we possess, we will have an effect, or it will have an effect on all those earthly gifts we receive from God. What is the unspeakable gift I'm talking about? Salvation. It is a gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ Himself. In fact, if we were to focus exactly on the unspeakable gift God has given us, it is Christ. God sent forth His Son into this world. That was a gift. That Son suffered and died on the cross for His people. That is a gift. That Son was raised again for our justification and life. That is a gift. That Son has sent forth His Spirit to live in our hearts. A gift. That Son preserves us in that salvation. A gift. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will usher into us into the heavenly kingdom that awaits us. A gift. God gives us all of this in Christ Jesus our Lord. Talk about a reason for giving thanks. Notice how our text emphasizes that all of this is a gift. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. We all know what gift is. That is, if something is truly a gift. It is something freely given to another, not because he has merited it or earned it. It is something freely given to another person. Most of the time we give gifts, it is to the one we love or like, and simply is an expression of our appreciation for them. If this is true, then it is amazing when we look at what God does in bestowing gifts on His creatures. These gifts are not only not earned, but they're not deserved in the least sense of the word. They are not an expression of appreciation by God for something that we have done for Him. They are given wholly, purely, out of God's goodness. He is good, the fount of all good. And out of His goodness, He provides the creatures of His hand with what they need. Our earthly possessions are a gift given us by means of God's providence. After all, God provides for all His creatures. Even the reprobate man receives earthly possessions and wealth from God's almighty hand. But the gift of our salvation is given us even more so as a gift. It is ours by means of God's grace. Is this not the testimony of the gospel to you and to me, dear listener? God's people receive salvation not of works. We receive it only by God's sovereign and free grace. In fact, we were not even worthy of receiving this gift. We were doomed to perish in our sins, and there was no hope. There was no way of escaping our punishment for the sins we committed against God. Then God, freely and sovereignly, saved us. He in His grace sent forth His Son to death for us, the Son that He had loved from eternity. God sent Christ to bear the full punishment of His wrath against our sins and delivered us. This gift of God is unspeakable. We cannot express its beauty, its power, its wonder, its worth, even in human terms. We do not even know how to put into words the joy and thanksgiving that we have for what God has done for us in Christ. How does one begin to describe what great things God has done for us who are saved in the blood of Christ? He has saved us, and by means of that salvation has adopted us to be His own children and heirs unto eternal life. In His grace He has chosen to fellowship with us, to uphold us in our needs, to grant to us the knowledge that in every circumstance of life, He, the great and almighty God of heaven and earth, is with us. He will uphold us in our hour of greatest temptation and trial. He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He is our God and we are His people. That blessedness given us freely by the hand of God is indeed the greatest, most wonderful of all gifts. It is unspeakable, indescribable, unutterable, beyond our finite comprehension, what God has done for us. Thanks be to God. This salvation, this gift of God's grace to us, works in us overwhelming thanks. And in that thanks, we take a new look at the earthly gifts now we have received from God's hand too. Now we see that these are means that we can use to seek a higher end, that of our final salvation. No, these earthly things will not help us earn that end, but we can use them for the work of the Lord in this world. We not only use our money and our possessions, therefore, to support our family, we certainly do not selfishly hoard that money and say, it's mine and I will use it for me, for what I want. We use it to support the church and help those in need. So we get the instruction we do in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That is the relationship now between the earthly and the spiritual gifts we receive from the hands of our God. But our thanks is given not simply because of the unspeakable gift. Look at who gives it. Really, the beginning and end of all things is God. He has made all things, and to His glory are all things. When we give thanks, we ought to be extremely aware of who it is to whom we give such thanks. It is our Father. It is God who loved us from eternity, adopted us in the blood of Christ, and sends forth His Spirit into our hearts by which we call Him our Father. Our Father gives to us, fellow believers, this unspeakable gift. Oh, how He loves His children. Despite their weaknesses and sins, He loves them. How gracious He has been to us in giving us hearts to know who He is. So many are lost in blindness and do not know Him. That love God has for His people in Christ is unchangeable. God has been faithful in this year gone by to us His people, has He not? In everything we have received from His hand, He has been faithful to us His children. Even when God sends affliction in the life of His children, He is blessing them in His favor. God sends us affliction with a purpose in mind, not to crush us, but to save us. And in this past season, we may have received affliction, or we may not have received as much from His hand as we have felt was our need. God controls all these things, but He does so in His love for us, a love that never changes. What we rejoice in everything we received from God's hand in this past year once again, is that He has preserved us in the faith. He has not suffered our feet to be moved. The everlasting arms of our Heavenly Father have held us up. And that's because God vowed a vow to his church. He married her and took her to be His bride and vowed a vow to her. He said, I will be your husband to have and to hold you from this day forward. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, I will love you forever. I will never leave you. I will be a faithful God to you, and despite your sins, I will never forsake you. God has been faithful to His vow. He is the unchangeable God in His love and mercy towards us. Thanks be to God. But there is more to be added to this too. You see, God as Creator and sovereign ruler over all made a promise as regards this earthly creation. And on this promise we have come to rely as well. We would despair if not for this promise. It is given us in Genesis 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Here's a truth. You and I do not think about all that often. We take it for granted. God promised after the flood that seed time and harvest shall not cease. Why is it that the seasons are fixed the way they are? Psalmist says they are fixed by divine wisdom. God has fixed them. Every year without fail there is a seed time and harvest. We rejoice in the harvest in this time of the year. We give thanks that the harvest is again taken in and there is plenty to support us. Fellow believers, do not take that for granted. God gives us the harvest. To the promise of seed time and harvest, God has been true as well. Remember, He is the unchangeable God. Because He is, we are able to sow the seed in the springtime and then reap it again in the fall. And in this we see our calling too. What God gives to us in His never-changing faithfulness, we must be willing to give back to Him. Verse 8 of this chapter. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God's grace in our hearts abounds. We take a look at the unspeakable gift He has given us. Now, give to others too who are in need. That is the idea of this passage of God's word before us today. You see how God's faithfulness inspires us to use our earthly comforts and wealth in a frugal way? What then is our response to God who gives us this unspeakable gift? Thanks! What shall we render to the Lord? Thanks! Wholehearted thanksgiving! Do you know what thanksgiving is? It is expressing our gratitude to God for all He has done for us. Sometimes I wonder if in our generations we really know what it means to give thanks to someone. We are so spoiled. We actually think that we have something coming to us, that we are entitled to these things, that what has been given to us, while we have a right to them. Someone gives us something and we turn and walk away without the least sense of gratitude in our hearts, much less upon our lips. Hello? Where's the thank you? Oh, yeah, thanks. The word is idle and empty. Does not mean a thing. Giving thanks is an acknowledgement that we have received something from someone that we did not have, that we did not deserve, and it is then sincere appreciation that can be heard in the voice that we have received this. And it is walking away with true gratefulness in our hearts. That is, thanks. When's the last time you thanked someone for what you received? When's the last time we have truly given that kind of thanks to God? It should be there in every prayer. Every prayer. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks for our salvation. Thanks that we can be numbered among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thanks that we can be children of the Most High God. Thanks that we have been given a place in the church. Thanks for our fellow saints and the care God has shown toward us in His church. And thanks for God's tender care over us, upholding us, even when times are hard and difficult. And yes, thanks be to God for taking care of us again in these months that have passed by. Let's count our blessings, fellow saints. Name them one by one. Not just the earthly wealth that we have. Count the true blessings of salvation. And now let's give thanks to God in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for everything that we have. All that we are, Father, we owe to Thee. And we're thankful that Thou hast given us these things freely for Christ's sake, so that we might in turn give Thee thanks and praise, that Thy name through our praises might be glorified in all the earth. Forgive us where we have failed to do this in our lives, and now give unto us thankful hearts as we go forward. Keep us and preserve us in Thy grace, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The gospel message you have just heard was sponsored by the Protestant Reformed Churches through its radio program, The Reformed Witness Hour. We hope that you have been edified and encouraged by this message. If you would like more information about the Reformed faith or the Protestant Reformed Churches, feel free to visit our website at reformedwitnesshour.org or email us at mail@reformedwitnesshour.org.